Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, you can sign up for the Brian Lehrer Show weekend podcast. You know, you can get all our segments every day in our podcast feed. And as a bonus, we put together three of our favorites from the week and feed it out on Friday afternoons as Brian Lehrer Weekend. So if you missed a lot of the shows or you don't want to listen every day and you just want the very best of what we do, you can sign up wherever you get your podcasts for Brian Lehrer Show feed, including Brian Lehrer Weekend. So here's Jimmy Carter in a 1979 televised speech where he addressed the country's consumption problems. Presidents rarely wax this philosophical.
Too many of us now tend to worship self-indulgence and consumption. Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but by what one owns. But we've discovered that owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning.
Owning things. My next guests would agree with President Carter. Joshua Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus are the minimalists, best-selling authors and international speakers who write and speak about living a meaningful life with less stuff. In their new documentary, Minimalism, a documentary about the important things, Joshua and Ryan ask, how might your life be better with less? Welcome back to WNYC.
Yeah, thanks for having us again.
Thank you.
So for those who don't know what minimalism is in this respect, we're not talking about Philip Glass or Donald Judd. What is a minimalist lifestyle? How little is it?
Well, minimalism is the thing that gets us past the things so we can make room for life's most important things, which actually aren't things at all. And I think when I look at minimalism, I can look at minimalist art or architecture, or I can look at minimalism in other senses. But as a minimalist, a person who lives a minimalist lifestyle, everything I own serves a purpose or brings me joy. And really getting rid of the excess allowed me to make room and really figure out what was important in my life.
So Marie Kondo, famed organizing consultant and author, has a principle for throwing things away. Discard anything that doesn't spark joy.
Yeah.
Is that realistic?
Well, I go through all of my possessions, especially when I first started out on this journey, and I did ask that question, a very similar question with my stuff. Does this thing add value to my life? Because I was bringing so many things into my life to make me happy, but not really questioning why I was bringing those things in. So I think that is definitely a relative question, and we certainly ask a similar question of our possessions.
And do you have a principle like hers, discard anything that doesn't spark joy? Is there a philosophical statement that you can make?
I think we're probably a little bit less prescriptive than that, because I think my flavor of minimalism will probably look different from your flavor of minimalism. And determining what adds value to my life today, it may not add value to my life tomorrow. So it's a constant journey. It's not like you get there. You own your 100 things and all of a sudden you're a minimalist. You get your certificate and all of a sudden you're going to be happy. Minimalism is simply a tool to get rid of the excess so we can figure out what's important. I think so many of us are stuck being busy and trying to live this template of the American dream, but we've been sold a meme that doesn't necessarily work for all of us.
So I know you want me to ask the listeners to do some of this imagining. So listeners, call in with your answer to the question, how might your life be better with less? Their central question. And so this is not for those of you who have already trimmed down to the bare minimum of things you could have. This is for those of you who might potentially, maybe, hypothetically, do it a little bit in the future. How might your life be better with less? Have you asked that question before this moment? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Joshua Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, the minimalists and creators of the new documentary, Minimalism, a documentary about the important things. And here's a 30-second clip from the film. It's Julie Shore, PhD economist and sociologist, saying Americans are not materialistic enough.
We are too materialistic in the everyday sense of the word. and we are not at all materialistic enough in the true sense of the word. We need to be true materialists, like really care about the materiality of goods. Instead, we're in a world in which material goods are so important for their symbolic meaning, what they do to position us in a status system based on what advertising or marketing says they're about.
Do you get that, her alternative definition of materialism?
Yeah, you know, I think we've, ever since the 90s, really, we've been told that everything is disposable. And so we've consumed at just this alarming rate. And we're willing to bring things into our life because we know that it's cheap and it's easy. And it doesn't necessarily bring us long-term joy, but we get that dopamine rush, that high that doesn't last far past the checkout line. And I think being a minimalist is really just about being more intentional with what we bring into our lives, but also being intentional about what we hold on to. The average American household has more than 300,000 items in it. And of course, most of us wouldn't go on the show hoarders, but we still own a lot of stuff, and most of it doesn't really bring us any value.
Here is, I think, a struggling, aspiring minimalist. Put on your headphones, you can hear the caller. Tony in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Oh, hey there. Hey, everybody. I guess I'm an aspiring maximalist. We live in New York City. Like, we build things. We acquire things. We create. We make money. Like, I like the museums we have. I like bands that make, you know, make culture. I guess I just wonder where the line is. Isn't it part of the human condition to have ambition, to aspire to more, to acquire things? Like, I can see things holding us back and holding us back from happiness, but I kind of like it. I like what we're doing here.
Tony, I think New York is one of the best cities to be a minimalist in because you have access to so much. I live in Montana, and I don't have access to a whole lot of amenities, but I think we're shifting slowly from a culture of ownership to a culture of access. I think it's most pronounced in the digital world. No longer do I have to own 1,000 CDs to have access to those albums. Now it's a click of a button away. Same with movies or with books. And even now with shared spaces like parks or swimming pools or wherever, I no longer have to own these things to still be able to enjoy those items. And so, yes, I think it's okay to enjoy experiences and to want to have more, but living in the moment is even more important.
Tony, what?
Well, I guess it's just we don't own the CDs, but it's just, you know, Apple just stores it on their hard drives. I'm just, you know, that's like the biggest company in the world. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily buy the argument. It sort of seems like we have we're just paying Peter.
Tony, willing to engage. Hey, call us again, okay? Thanks, Tony, as his line breaks up, so we didn't get to the end of the thought there. But what would you say would be the most surprising thing to our listeners, for either of you, that you've decided to live without?
Let's see. It's funny because if you go to my house, it's not like you would walk in and say, man, this guy must be a minimalist. You would probably think, wow, the people who live here, they keep a really nice and tidy house, because you would walk in and you would see, I have a washer and dryer. I have my girlfriend, she loves to make bread. She has a bread mixer.
You're such a phony.
I know, right? No, but that's just it.
Do you have smartphones?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, smartphone is a tool. And that's how I look at anything, whether it's a tech gadget or whether it's a bread mixer. Those are all tools.
So what's the real minimalist expression in either of your own lives? Perfect example of your minimalism. Practicing what you preach.
Yeah, I think for Ryan especially, he wears pretty much an outfit every day. He has a black T-shirt and jeans on every day, and I think that tends to be a metaphor. I was just talking to someone about this today with my little girl. Every morning I try to show her, you know, the sort of the ephemerality of living in the moment. I, when I wake her up, I blow up a little balloon, and it'll eventually pop, and frustrates her at first, and she doesn't like it. It upsets her, but she can also realize that, wow, I'm living in this moment. I better enjoy this now because it is going to pop. And that seems to be mimetic of the rest of our lives.
You're creating a tiny little trauma for your daughter every single day. Amory in Mount Kisco with more maximalist pushback, right, Amory?
Yes, I have to say. I mean, I did live that way until I met my husband, who's I think was a frustrated inventor in another life. Or not frustrated, but an inventor. And he regularly acquires stuff over the years. We have four kids. And our stuff has accumulated, and I just guess there are so many reasons why it's not easy to get rid of. One being I'm sort of conservation-minded, you know, and I worry about, you know, generating trash and where I would send it and the complexity of that and the sentimentality that we both share about the past mm-hmm. and the things that we've acquired along our mm-hmm. way kind
about...
of makes it very mm-hmm. difficult to make those choices about, you know, what we get rid of.
Amory, thank you very much. And I'm going to go right to another caller because time is short. But I think Carolyn in Hamburg, New Jersey, has a fabulous, probably not fabulous for her, but story.
<Not fabulous.
laughs> Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you? My house burned to the ground last June, and I'm currently living in what used to be an artist studio next door. All I have is a sink. I don't have a shower. I use an outhouse, and I've had to replace or think about replacing the stuff. I had things that have been in my family since the 1700s, and I lost just about everything, including a dog and a cat. Mm. And it really makes you think. It makes me realize that it's, on the one hand, it's just stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that I wish I still had. I've invested in a good bed. And some different things that, you know, are crucial for me for living. But on the other hand, money is an issue. And even though I had replacement costs, what do I replace things with? And what do I need to replace? And one thing, for example, I have four good knives instead of 100 lousy knives and things like that. So it really makes you stop and think. And, you know, I try to practice gratitude every day for what I do, not that I have, but the things in my life, the friends who have been stellar, and my family who've sent me things that were in the family, and that kind of thing.
Wow.
So it's a life altering kind of a thing.
And
but
it sounds like you wound up on kind of, and I'm going to have to go in a minute with my apologies, Carolyn, because the show's going to end. But it sounds like you wound up on both sides of it, sort of appreciating some of your stuff like you never did before, but also realizing how you could live with less and maybe be better off.
So much. It's been a really, as I said, the two sides of the coin.
Good luck to you. Really good luck. I hope everything works out after that horrible experience. Well, last word. Joshua Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, we have about 30 seconds left. Their new documentary, Minimalism, a documentary about the important things. We've heard resistance on the phones.
Yes, indeed. And I think it's important to realize that minimalism isn't about deprivation. Minimalism is about intentionally bringing the things into your life that are going to add value and getting rid of the things that they're essentially in the way. And so I think if we could just leave your listeners with one message, it'd be this. Love people and use things, because the opposite never works.
I see your New York premiere this Sunday is sold out at the SVA Theater. So where can our listeners see the movie?
They can just go to minimalismfilm.com, click on See the Film, and they'll be able to find the theater that's close to them. It's playing about 400 theaters across the United States.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And have a great weekend, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.